Even if it's been a while since you were last inside a public school, it's probably safe to say that you don't remember it as being a particularly striking environment visually. My next guest, Ruth Landy Schumann, has made it her mission to change that. She's the founder of Public Color, an organization that pairs students with local mentor volunteers so that together they can transform tired, uninspired educational spaces into exciting ones by painting them in vibrant colors. Her organization has received praise from across the city. Mayor Bloomberg even proclaimed October 8th as Public Color Day in honor of its 10th anniversary in 2006. Public Color is now in the middle of its summer session, and I'm very pleased to welcome Ruth Landy Schumann to our show today to talk about it. Hello.
Hi. Nice
According to your here. Website, 94% of the students who participated in the Public Color program graduated from high school on time, compared to 42% of their peers. Is there a self-selection process at work here, students who are already more motivated wanting to participate?
Certainly not more motivated academically. I think that there probably is some kind of self-selection that goes on. The youngsters that gravitate to us either are drawn to the fact that what we do is they see as creative, or when we ask, we find out that they actually want to hang out with us because we serve healthy snacks and play cool music.
Some of them are paid.
Yes, we have a continuum of programs. It starts with our gateway program, which is Paint Club. Kids are not paid. They paint for points for prizes, so it's all volunteer. And they're with us every afternoon, Tuesday through Friday, and all day Saturday. And it's on Saturday that community volunteers, mostly corporate volunteers, paint alongside our youngsters and informally mentor them. We encourage them to talk about their jobs and the education they need to do their work as a way to, first of all, introduce our kids to a much wider variety of job options, but also to build incentive for them to stay in school, graduate, and even consider college.
So even though you're teaching kids a marketable skill, your intent isn't to train them for a career in house painting.
Well, I'd be thrilled, frankly, if a number of our kids wanted to become commercial painters. And in fact, we're in the middle of a strategic planning process, and one of the things we're looking at is starting our own professional painting company down the line.
Using some of these people.
Yeah, because it's a wonderful job. First of all, it can't be outsourced, and everybody needs a painter, so there's always going to be demand. I'm a big proponent of vocational education. But along with commercial painting, we deliberately teach very strong and transferable work habits so that our youngsters are, not only are we helping engage them in their education and change the way they relate to education, but we're also helping them prepare themselves to be productive in the workforce. And developing these other work habits is something that we take very seriously.
And getting them thinking about going to college.
Absolutely.
These are kids who might not even consider it otherwise.
There's no way that they would consider it, and primarily it's because of the cost. 98% of our kids come from very, very low-income households, and when I realized that the cost of college was the biggest stumbling block, let alone their lack of familiarity with college, the value of a college education, let alone the value of a college experience. But once I understood that it was really the money part, I embarked on setting up a scholarship fund, and we raised money to give all of our youngsters a gap scholarship. It fills the gap, or helps fill the gap, between the financial aid packages that we help them all receive and the real cost of college. Nonetheless, I'm very proud to say that 65% of our college students use the commercial painting skills we taught them to help defray college costs. And that was a dream of mine way back when.
Rather than waiting tables and such.
Yeah. They can paint their way through college.
How many schools have you had the chance to work in since Public Color was founded 16 years ago?
I think it's 147. 147 schools struggling. Inner city, middle, and high schools housing hundreds of academies. And then we've painted 178 under-resourced community facilities.
Do you tend to focus on certain areas of a building?
Very low-income neighborhoods.
No, I meant the building itself.
Oh, yes, public spaces. Mm-hmm.
We focus on the hallways, stairwells, cafeteria.
We always do a color, what I call a color intervention in the auditorium. Usually the ceiling's too high.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Ruth Landy Schumann, the founder and CEO of Public Color. By the way, we have a link to Public Color's website on our show page. You can go there to see before and after pictures of some of the schools that they have worked on. Your personal background is in industrial design. How much does color, how important is color in the design of a product or a space?
Oh, I think it's hugely important. And color is certainly, not, the absence of color is not benign.
And that's what we see in most schools.
Right.
They all seem to be painted in drab, muted tones.
Absolutely.
And I always wondered why. I mean, especially that kind of grayish green that you see in almost every public space.
I know, the worst. Or these.
Did somebody decide somewhere down the line that was the best color? That if you painted something in red, that you were going to get people all excited?
Well, I'm sure that there are people who think that and stay away from it. It might be true, but and we don't use a strong red in our palette. But I think honestly that the students weren't considered at all when these schools were painted. I think the only thing that was considered was cost. And in fact, colored paint hardly costs anymore. There's all kinds of research that I've read that underscores the fact that color, changing an environment, absolutely changes attitudes and behavior.
Did the idea for this program begin when you took a six-month postgraduate study on the psychological effects of color?
Well, it started brewing then. I had helped develop the Big Apple Circus in another lifetime and had gotten to see a lot of middle schools in East Harlem that had our arts and education program. And I was at the same time getting my master's at Pratt. And when I saw these schools, I couldn't get over how prison-like they looked and felt. And I thought, there's such a disconnect here between our expectations of excellence from our teachers and students and these environments that we're putting them in for many hours a day. And at the time, I was also helping Gaetano Pesce in his work, and Gaetano is very well known for his use of vibrant color in product and in environments. And so the conversations were always around using color to relieve monotony, using color to help paint dignity and respect, especially in places where people go with a heavy heart. So and that's when the light bulb went on. I thought, if I put a paintbrush in disaffected students' hands, I'll be able to engage them in their education.
So the thought was, get the kids involved. Does that mean they get to choose the colors as well?
Yes, they work with me. Benjamin Moore donates all the paint to us, which is a great, great gift. And over the years, I've established a palette that we keep adjusting so that we don't get bored. And in every single school, we start with a workshop that I lead, teaching the youngsters about color as a visual language. And I made up a game that helps them understand that color does convey thoughts and emotions. And then they make color combinations out of all these hundreds of color chips that we give them. And then we vote. And we end up choosing their 10 favorite combinations and post that on a piece of oak tag or foam core in the cafeteria. And we hold a school-wide vote so that everybody can weigh in.
You usually can tell which teachers are young and still excited about connecting with students because their classrooms are filled with vibrant colors, usually primary colors. But nobody knows whether that really has much of an impact. I'm not even sure the kids care. There's a difference when you get the kids to choose the colors themselves. Well, yeah. What's the reaction of the other kids in the school? Do they see this as something kind of foreign, or do they get excited about the idea and want to propose a yellow wall over here?
I would say initially there was a fair amount of pushback. I was working full-time in the schools in the early years, and I remember I was in a high school in Newark, Central High, and the kids would stop me in the hall and want to know why I put Skittles colors in their schools. And I asked them, did they participate in the paint club vote and selection? And they said no. So I said, well, you know, without responsibility, you don't get privilege. And I thought, I can't keep asking my staff to say something like that. So that's when I came up with the game. And that way, the students really have a sense to an opportunity to weigh in and to own what goes into
even the
school.
Kids who are not in the program.
Even the students who aren't.
But you say that your program's attendance has averaged 99% over the past few seasons, 100% during school year, 98% during summer sessions. Do the students attend the sessions on their own, or do you enforce some kind of attendance policy?
No, but we, as I mentioned earlier, we have a continuum of programs. So after a youngster's painted their school, they're invited to join either our color club or Next Steps, depending on what grade they're in. If they're in grades 7 to 10, they'll join color club, which is 3 days a week minimum. And 1 day a week is for career exposure workshops that are organized into industry-centric modules. And 1 day a week is tutoring, and 1 day a week is painting in our under-resourced community facilities. Older students, 10th, 11th and 12th grade, go into Next Steps, which is same 3-day-a-week model, but 1 day is college prep workshops and career prep workshops and tutoring and then painting. Those youngsters earn a stipend.
And
they only get the stipend if they show up all 3 days.
Now, you also get past them just painting walls, and they wind up doing graphics as well.
Yes, and that's part of our...
Influenced by graffiti?
No, that's very much part of our summer program. We had noticed that way too many youngsters are graduating high school functionally illiterate, and in fact had a number of situations with some of our students who frankly turned to some criminal acts to make money because they couldn't read. And when I understood what was going on, I thought, we've got to start our own program that's a literacy and math immersion program. But we do it through product design because we kind of take pride in the fact that we engage our youngsters in education in a subversive manner.
Now, Sandra from Brooklyn has written in to ask, have you researched color and its effect on the autistic spectrum? We're creating a space for children on the spectrum at a local children's museum, and this has been a topic that has come up again and again.
Oh, it's I'm glad that you asked. The answer is yes. We are, in fact, painting a school for autistic children, our first, and I did a lot of research on it, and unfortunately, there's nothing definitive. What I did is when I went out to the school and I prepared two palettes for the students. One was more vibrant than the other. And I asked them to respond to both. And then within the palette that they liked the best, I made color cords for them and asked them which they liked the best. And interestingly enough, they chose the yellow, green, blue, which is what I suspected they would choose, given what I had read.
Because of the way autistic children relate to certain things.
Yeah.
We're pretty much out of time. If people want to know more about your organization, just go to your website.
That would be wonderful.
And that is?
www.publiccolor.org. And that's one word, one C.
And we have a link to Public Color's website on our show page. You can go there and see some before and after pictures of schools that they have worked on. My great thanks to Ruth Landy Schumann for coming by to talk about it.
Thank you.